1 Peter chapter 1 in your Bibles, and let's stand together and read these verses in your hearing. In addition to Psalm 37:4, which we've been looking at for a couple of weeks, there are three verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. So when you find that, could you stand with us? I'd like to read these verses in your hearing and then ask God's blessing on our time together. Of course, you're familiar with Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so as we contemplate that word from God to us, then listen to these verses here in 1 Peter. Verse number 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Our Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the truth. And Lord, we need You now. We have Your Word open before our eyes, and our hearts are open before Your eyes. Now, Lord, do in our hearts what must be done for Your Word to do its work in us for Your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is the battle for happiness. The battle for happiness. Last week, we considered this loving command from God for us to find happiness and joy in the Lord. The loving command from God to say, here is real happiness. Here is real joy. Find it in the Lord. We ended last week by agreeing that this battle is one that we must fight. This battle for this happiness is an aspect of sanctification. And we agreed that the fight is worth the while. It's worthwhile to fight this fight in the sanctifying life that we might find happiness in the Lord. Now be very careful. I'm trying to be very succinct about this matter. We're not just talking about happiness in general. Amen? Happiness in the Lord. That's the battle. Now Peter says it this way. He says, for a little while, we are distressed by various temptations. That's the way he says it in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. What does it mean? The Bible describes our life as a little while. You young people, you need to listen to the Bible. Our life is just a little while. James makes it even more graphic. He says, your life is like a vapor. Right? Here today, gone. So we need to be very careful to live the way God would have us to live. To find in this life what God wants us to find. Because it's for a little while. But then he brings trials into this little while. And he says that living your life, as brief as it is, you're going to be faced with trials and temptations. But we must persevere by the power of the Holy Spirit in these trials. We must persevere. Persevere because whether God is gracious and you live to be 60, 70, 80, 90, it doesn't matter. You must persevere by the power of the Spirit for that little while. Because all of those 60, 70, 80, 90 years are going to be filled with trials. Amen, saint? But then I like the way verse 7 puts it. This is my synopsis of verse 7. Verse 7 says that temptations reveal those who are true Christians. You see, trials reveal whether your faith is genuine or not. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, the word proof there actually literally means the genuineness, right? The realness of your faith will be proven when you go through trials. More precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Temptations bring proof of what's really in your heart. Don't we know that's true? I mean, I'm talking to Christians now. Don't temptations prove what's still in your heart, even though you've been saved? Oh, we would prefer to blame somebody else. But the trial proved that it wasn't that other thing's fault. It was already in you. The trial came to bring it out of you. But then he says, oh, verse 8, and though we have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You've not seen him, but you love him. Isn't that the way it is? We weren't there physically, but oh, Jesus is so real in my heart now. Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. And he's going to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit makes Christ real and vibrant and authoritative. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus speak just as authoritatively today as he did 2,000 years ago. We believe, we love and rejoice in the Lord during temptations because we know that the outcome is the salvation of our soul. Can you hear me, Christian? Listen to me. Trials are not going to last. Now, I'm talking to myself, just like I'm talking to you. We all need to hear the Bible tell us this. Trials will end. That's the reason God said, Jesus said to all of us, to all that are Christians, I go away to prepare a place that's suited, what? For you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We believe, we love, and rejoice in the Lord during temptation because we know the outcome is the salvation of our souls. You know, I'm thankful to John Piper for pointing me in this direction. John Piper is a, Dr. Piper is a wonderful gift to the church. And he's misunderstood in many circles. But I'm thankful that he started me to thinking in this direction about the battle for happiness. Now, Dr. Piper approaches it a little different than I do. But that's okay, because when God points men in the right direction, they don't always fight the battle the same way. But we're all in the same battle, right? When you see these, I don't know a whole lot of military strategy, but the general and the sergeants and the lieutenants, they're not all at the same place. They're all fighting the same battle, but there's a strategy here. So the strategy that I'm going to talk to you about is not necessarily Dr. Piper's strategy, but we're fighting the same battle, the battle for happiness. So as I begin to think about this thing, because, see, my mind is so small, it seems to me that if you got a battle, you have to have enemies. Right? So, obviously then, if we're in a battle for happiness, we've got enemies of our happiness in the Lord. There are enemies who do not want us to be happy in the Lord. And they are fighting to try to ensure that you are the most unhappy Christian that walked the face of the earth. And in some cases, what can we say? They're winning. Amen, Christian. You see, I don't live in your house. I live in mine. I've already told you, this is a struggle for me. Moodiness, inconsistency. The enemy wins at times. But it's time that we begin to gain the ground that Christ has secured for us. To go in and enjoy the life that he's secured for us. Well, let's look. I got three enemies I want to talk about real quick, all right? You ready? Let's go. The first one. You ready? His name is the devil. Now, I hope that didn't shock anybody. Surely, Christian, you know the devil is your enemy. Yeah, you know how Peter said it here in 1 Peter 5? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, someone to destroy. You know, names in the scriptures reveal character. Names tell you a lot about a person's character. The name devil means slanderer. He's got some other names that hopefully will help us to understand what our enemy is like. He's called the tempter, right? The deceiver. He's called the father of lies. He's called a murderer. He's called the accuser. Right here in this text, Peter is writing to suffering Christians, and he says, your adversary. That's who he is. You hear me, Christian? I'm talking about your adversary. The devil is your adversary. Jesus, I believe it's in Matthew 13, called him the enemy. The enemy has sowed these seeds. The enemy. He deceives and lies to people about happiness, and he seeks to destroy people in his misery. Satan is sucking people in with his lies to a life of misery. He's miserable, and he wants everybody else miserable. He is opposed to our happiness in the Lord, and he seeks to destroy it. The statement I wrote about him is, Satan, or the devil, is our number one enemy of our happiness in the Lord. Number two enemy. You ready? The world. It's the way John said it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is our second enemy. Now, I'm not talking about this natural and material universe that God created. You know I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking about trees and sand and... No. But there's an evil system the Bible refers to as the world. An evil system of corruption under the power of the devil. John said it this way in chapter 5. He says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. He's got a system going. Brother, sister, listen to me. There's a whole other world out there that you can't see. And there's a lot going on around us every hour, every second of the day that we don't see. But it's real. How do we know? Because God said it's real. Devil is not a little character running around with a pitchfork and horns and... No. Talking about someone much more awful than that. Amen. Just as the devil made offers of worldly pleasures to Christ, he does so with us today. Let me remind you of something. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. The devil made offers of worldly pleasure to Christ. You remember the story, the account here after the baptism of Christ in chapter 4. Verse 3 says, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Here, Lord, just go satisfy yourself here. If you're the Son of God, since you're the Son of God, take some pleasure here. But he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Tempting him with pride. Tempting him with his little cunning cleverness. But Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You see it? Verse 8. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. See what he's offering him. Offering him what the world has. And he said to him, all these things I've given to you, I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. See, the devil, his strategy is to offer these worldly pleasures to us. Pleasures from the world, from this wicked system that Satan controls. The evil system offers us easy living. They'll do that on your job. If you just compromise a little bit, I'll make your life easy here at the company. Right? You'd be willing to give up some of those... some of your commitment to the church. You ease off of some of this religious language. Hey, you could You could really go places in this company. If you stop acting so holy. Right? He offers easy living. He offers pleasure. He offers power. Popularity from the world. Think of it. We visited with an assisted living facility here on Tuesdays. And this past week when we were there, there was a gentleman in one of the rooms where we were ministering to a lady, and he came in, and he'd heard us singing in another area in the hallway, and he came in the room, and he said we were singing his favorite song. Y'all remember that? This is the Day. But then he says, you know, but my favorite singer is Luther. Not, you know the Luther. What's his name, Vandross? Luther. And the lady in the bed where we were ministering to him just turned to him and just talked about how vain that, she says, Luther's dead now. All that stuff he's singing about is dead too. I mean, she didn't present it that way, but that was the result of it. And so the world holds out this offer of popularity. But my brother, my sister, it's all temporary. It's going to die. What's going to happen to the Hall of Famer on the day he breathes his last? What's going to happen to the one who has these walls, this wall full of trophies? What's going to happen to the one who has all these platinum? Is platinum the best record? I don't know. What, gold? Gold is when you sell the most? Platinum? What happens to the one who has all these plaques with platinums? Right? Oh, you were famous in the world. And Christian, I'm telling you, we need to be very careful. Amen. Because the offer and the temptation is strong. Those of you who think you stand and they can't get to me, the Bible says, take what? Take heed. When you think you stand, what? Lest you the evil system makes these offers to us just as it did with Christ, appealing to our wants. And here's something I said. See, not only does this worldly system appeal to your wants, it appeals to your secret desires. All of us have them. Amen. And the world knows how to hold it out there in front of you. You find yourself easing toward it and don't even realize it. Making a little compromise here and a little compromise, and you find yourself because you got that little secret desire. So that's two of our enemies, right? You got them? The devil, the world, and you know the third one. All you reformed thinkers. The flesh, sinful flesh. This is real. This is real. Galatians 5. Let me just read a little bit of this. These enemies of our happiness in the Lord. Galatians 5. Oh, I'll just read verses 16 through 21 just to give you a flavor of this thing. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, look at these deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality. Verse 20. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the flesh. These are the deeds of the flesh. These are people who are in the flesh. Being in the flesh means that you are an unbeliever. This is your lifestyle. Can't some of us relate? When we didn't think we were so bad until you get out of darkness into the light and look back into the darkness. Right? I wasn't all that. I thought I was all that when I was in the darkness until you get in the light and look back in it. The flesh. Now stay with me a few minutes. The flesh, the world's offer wouldn't affect us if it didn't appeal to the flesh. You see, the reason that the offer is tempting is because of something in us. The flesh is sinful human nature, sinful passion. That's the way Romans 7:5 says it. Calls it the sinful passion of the flesh. Immorality, drunkenness, and carousing. These things offer happiness, but it's temporary and shallow. Listen to me now. I'm appealing to you young people now. Particularly you young people that don't know Christ yet. You may be close. Jesus told a man once, you're close to the kingdom, but close doesn't count. And even some of you young people that are in the kingdom, you need to listen to me now. These are real offers made by Satan and this evil system that appeal to your human-based nature. Why is it that you can be standing minding your own business, you young male, and some girl comes by inappropriately dressed, and your eyes got locked? It's in us. Amen. And you're lying to deny it. So we must be on guard. Same thing for women. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. So for all of us, these are important matters. You see, these are enemies who are going after you delighting in the Lord. They do not want you to find your delight in the Lord. They'd rather for you to delight in that little short dress. Or the girl dressed inappropriately some other way. Or you girls are to delight in that man who purposefully has dressed in a way to get you to look and to pay attention. Immorality and drunkenness are all for happiness, but it's temporary and shallow. Just a few minutes of happiness is all they provide. Sex provides only a few minutes of happiness. Pornography provides only a few minutes of happiness. Alcohol and drugs provide only a few minutes. Now, the consequences may be longer. Yeah. Yeah. Don't some of us know that? I mentioned this to some of you young people Friday night. We don't keep telling these stories just for you to hear them. We don't want you to go through these, have these consequences. That's right. For a few minutes of pleasure. That's all it is. And it's shallow. Money. Same thing. I know I'm looking at some people who grew up like me, rough and poor, right? And then you thought, all I need to do is to get out of here. I just need to get a better life. Did it make you happy? Amen. Education. All I need is an education, and I'll be happy. Did it do it?
No. Amen.
Right? These offers. And you young people, again, I'm not picking on you, but this is reality. The world is going to throw that out in front of you. All you need to do is get an education. You're going to be a happy person. I used to work with guys with master's and PhD degrees, sat right beside me with my bachelor of science. I also worked with guys who had no degree.
Amen.
Worked them way up through the company.
That's right.
It's God who exalts. God made it very clear to me, in my little electrical engineering degree, that wasn't what got me the job.
Amen.
Neither was that what kept me on the job. You understand. These things offer temporary, they're just a few minutes of pleasure, few minutes of happiness. Listen to Solomon. Solomon said, I got everything my eyes saw, and my conclusion is that it's vanity. I had all the women, all the money, all the possessions. Everything I saw, I wanted, I got. And when I got done, all I could do is shake my head and say, this is vanity. It satisfied me for a few minutes, and then I was on to something else. He said, once I got all the money I wanted, he said, it's like having a fistful of air. That's what he said. Now, some of us grown people need to hear that. Some of us grown Christians need to hear that. These are enemies of our happiness. It's the reason we show up week after week. I'll get to that. Hang on. So, those are the enemies, right? Now, if you got enemies in a war, thank God you also got some friends, right? I don't want to exalt these enemies. I just want to acknowledge they're there. But, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful I got some friends that helped me fight. Aren't you glad you're not in this battle alone? Well, I'm just going to mention three friends right quick, all right? Number one. Faith. Faith is a great friend. Would you agree with that, Christian?
Yeah.
Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Consider it joy knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Look at that. Joy and faith. Right there together. Right in the middle of them, you got trials and tests. Right in the middle of joy and faith. Isn't that something? These things are interrelated. You see? Joy, faith, trials, tests. Kind of like what Peter said, like baking a cake. You want it to get right, you got to put all the stuff in there. So you can't just say, well, Lord, I want to live life with joy and faith. The Lord said, no, you need some trials mixed in there. Right? Because then you'll come, how does he say? You come forth perfect and complete, like I wanted you to, Willie. So, you know, I'm not just saying this like a song, but you understand what I'm saying. Hang on in there. Because I'm doing something here. Faith is a friend. Would you agree with that? Another friend is hope. Hallelujah. Hope is a great friend in this battle. Great friend in this war. I know some of you brothers are teaching through Romans. If you already made it past this verse, great. If you haven't, when you get there, camp on it. It's a little verse. It's Romans 12:12. It says this: rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Look at that. Rejoice in hope. But right in the middle of rejoicing in hope, you got tribulation. Is that interesting? But in addition to hope and rejoicing and joy and tribulation, you got prayer. These things are all, what did I say? Interrelated. So you got to leave all the ingredients in there if you want to have the outcome that God intended. Hope is the anchor of our joy and happiness in the Lord. Hope is the reason that we can rejoice and persevere in tribulation. Hope is the reason we can be devoted to prayer. Hope is our friend. And I know I got some brains turning. Now you already got it figured out, right? You got two of the three, and you know these three run together. These three run together like partners in the scriptures, right? Wherever you got faith and hope, you got the other partner. What's his name? Love. Friends. Friends in the fight. Just mention a verse to you. Go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:8, I think it is. Yeah, this is the one we read earlier. Though we have not seen him, we love him. Right? Though we've not seen him, we love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We are to love Christ, to believe and greatly rejoice in him, even though we are in distressing trials and tribulation. Our love for Christ is greater than the temporary pain of trials. Is that true, Christian? Our love for Christ is greater than this temporary pain that we have going through trials. Hopefully you see these things are all interrelated. I would definitely rather have these three friends, faith, hope, and love, than yield to those three enemies, the devil, the flesh, the world, and the flesh. Wouldn't you? These friends want me to be happy in the Lord, but my enemies don't. John said it this way, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Peter says it this way, resist the devil, stand firm in your faith, right? All of these great friends of our happiness are found in the Lord. That's the reason I'm contending that we need to delight in him. Faith in him, hope in him, love him. That's where your delight is. That's your friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother in the fight. In the fight. Our hope is anchored in the Lord. So look for and expect true happiness in the Lord alone. This is how we'll win the battle against the temptation of sex. This is how we'll win the battle against the temptation of pornography. This is how we'll win the battle against the temptation of drugs. This is how we win the battle against the temptation of money. This is how we win the battle against the temptation of power and fame. This is how. The devil knows. You know, you don't win these battles by making vows. How many of us have made vows? Broke them almost as soon as they got out of your lips. You don't win the battle by making vows and commitments, by following the four
easy steps.
Doesn't work that way. The enemy is too powerful for four easy steps. Right? It's too powerful for your vow. The enemies of our happiness in the Lord are too powerful for us to fight the way we've been fighting in the past. It's time for us to change. If we're serious about delighting ourselves in the Lord, if we're serious about finding happiness and joy in the Lord, it's time to change. Are you tired of losing the battle? Day after day, you find a complaint in your heart and on your lips. You're unhappy at home, unhappy at work, unhappy at school, unhappy at church, unhappy with the worship, unhappy with your lot in life, unhappy with your possessions, unhappy with your health, unhappy with your financial situation, unhappy with this, unhappy with that. Because you're unhappy, you find fault with almost everything and everybody else. Unhappiness in the heart shows on your face. Unhappiness in the heart shows in your actions. Unhappiness in the heart shows and reveals itself in your conversation. You can't hide it. You simply cannot hide unhappiness. It's like taking a skunk and trying to stick it in your closet and think nobody will know a skunk is in this house.
All right, brother. Amen.
So the question is, are you willing to confess that you're unhappy? Are you willing to confess that you're discontented? That's the only way you're going to get help from the Lord. He'll help you today. Do you believe that? I'm here by the authority of God Almighty and of these scriptures to say the Lord will help you if you will humble yourself. A broken spirit, a contrite heart, He'll not cast you away. If you'll trust Him today, He'll help you. Jesus offers Himself to you for your complete satisfaction and joy. He can and He will satisfy the real desires of your heart. The thing that truly makes you unhappy, Jesus says, I will satisfy. My brother, my sister, the only reason any one of us is unhappy today is that we've been looking for and expecting happiness in something or someone other than the Lord. Our hope in Jesus Christ does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I promise you, if you find your delight in the Lord, you will not be disappointed. So let's begin to win the battle for our true happiness today. If you did not have victory this past week, or maybe you didn't even have victory today, some of us would have to confess that we didn't even have victory with happiness in the Lord today. If you yielded to the world's temptation for happiness, even today, we need to repent now and find forgiveness in Christ. Don't go another day looking to something or someone else other than the Lord for true happiness and joy. Repent today. And for those of you who are already experiencing some victory, I want to encourage you. Persevere, my brother, my sister. You know, one of the authors that's so helpful for us in our counseling is Jay Adams. And Jay Adams says it this way. Christian ought to be encouraged with every movement toward righteousness. So I'm saying to you, my brother, my sister, regardless of how little progress you made, if it was in the right direction of righteousness, thank the Lord. Keep going. Just find more and more joy and happiness and take whatever little. Because all it takes is a little drop. Get every drop out of the happiness and joy that's in Him. If you don't know Christ, I'm telling you, you don't know happiness at all. So I would extend this invitation, make this appeal to anyone here today who is not saved. Come to Christ. In Him you'll find joy and happiness that's indescribable. That's the way Peter said it. Joy inexpressible and, what did he say? Full of glory. Oh, I like the old King James. Joy unspeakable. That's what I've got to say to you, my friend. You come to Christ and the joy will bubble over in your soul. He'll fill your cup until you overflow. And if you have been contemplating a church where you can serve God and grow more in grace and knowledge of Him and in His love, we'd invite you to join us. We'd love to have you. Our Father, thank You for these few minutes that we were together in Your presence, in Your Word. Thank You for Your promises and Your warnings, for Your direction, for Your commands, for Your reproof. Thank You for all, Lord, that You've done for us, Your people. Now I'd ask that You grant us great grace to hear with our hearts, to receive with our hearts, to obey You from the heart. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we take just a few minutes then about